Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles this morning, turn to John in chapter 3. John in chapter 3. Hope you got your Bible with you. If you don't, there's probably one in a pew right in front of you near the hymnal rack there somewhere. John in chapter 3. It's important you follow along with the preacher preaches. Don't believe something just because a preacher says it. You better see it in the Word of God. John in chapter 3. So I was thinking this morning about a story I heard a while back of an elderly lady visiting a church. Just happened to be a Baptist church. And it was just about time for the church service to start. She came in the front doors and an usher met her right there at the door and said, "Ma'am, good to have you here. I got a great seat for you right here towards the back." She said, "No, sir, young man, I want to sit in the second pew." He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Second pew." So he brought her down to the front and sat her in the second pew. Just before she sat down, while she was sitting down, said, I hope you're not disappointed. Our preacher, he's kind of boring sometimes, and he's not the brightest of all the preachers that you'll ever come across." And she said, "Young man, do you know who I am?" And he said, "No, ma'am." He said, "I'm the preacher's mother." He said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." And he walked away real fast. You might be a visitor here. Maybe people don't know who you are here this morning, but I want you to know God knows who you are. Amen. And he brought you to the service this morning to hear one message. I've got the simplest message to preach this morning. I'm not going to get real deep. We're going to exegete the scripture a little bit in John in chapter 3, but it's not deep. It's a simple message. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." He said, "You must. You've got to be. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When you draw your last breath, it won't matter how much money you have. It won't matter if you lived in the nicest house in the county. It won't matter if you're the most popular guy in the state. None of that's going to matter. It won't matter how many rocks you got in your pocket. It's whether you were born again. John in chapter 3. Let's stand together. Let me read three verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Father, we come this morning and I pray that you'd help this poor preacher hide me behind the cross. Lord Jesus, help me to preach only what you want preached. God, we ask that the word of God would be clarified, would be made very clear. I wouldn't muddy it up in any way. Lord, I pray for that one that is farthest from God, that one that is closest to getting born again, and yet they're not saved. Lord, may they understand completely this morning by way of the Holy Spirit using the Holy Scriptures what being born again is. And God, we ask for that one that is hungering and thirsting for eternal life, for sins forgiven. We pray, God, that you would save them this morning. And we'll thank you for every victory in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for we that are born again. We know we're not born again of our own account. We know it isn't our own righteousness or our own good works. We're here by grace. God, I thank you that we stand in grace this morning and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Title of my message this morning is Born Again, Explained, Exegeted, and Experienced. I'm going to explain it. We're going to exegete it from Scripture, this short passage of Scripture. That means we're going to exposit in an expository fashion the Word of God, explain it, expose it, and then I trust that if you've never experienced Him, you'll experience Him this morning. Salvation. Greatest questions known to man. One question: how can I have my sins forgiven? Every man, every woman, every child that's old enough to think about life has asked that question. On every continent and every nation and every tribe and every people group, of every time in life in human history, how can I have my sins forgiven? Second question, how can I get to heaven? If you're a thinking person at all, you've thought those thoughts. You've had those questions on the inside. We read here in the book of John of a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was searching for truth. He was a religious leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, one of the 70 that ruled in Israel, civilly and theologically. They were like the Supreme Court and the authority of everything, all wrapped up in one body. And here he is, a master, a teacher, a rabbi in Israel, and he's got all the religion in the world, but he doesn't know if he's got eternal life. I want to make this statement, and please understand what I'm saying. Religion is not salvation. Doesn't matter what title is over the door, what title you wear. Religion is not, if you're trusting in cold religion, you're going to break the fires of hell wide open one day. Religion is not salvation. Salvation is not religion. Salvation is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. So here's a religious man, a religious leader. Everybody was looking up to him. And he comes to Jesus by night, and Jesus kind of jumps ahead. He knows exactly why he's there. And he asked the question before Nicodemus even asked the question. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Periodically, when I meet new people and they ask what I do for a living, I tell them, and if I've done this once, I've done it maybe 10,000 times. I stick my hand out and say, I'm a born-again Baptist preacher. And on more than one occasion, I remember one lady specifically said, born again. I never heard that kind of Baptist preacher before. And I said, well, there's probably not a lot of us around in all reality. I'm a born-again Baptist preacher. I had another man confront me, a lady. It was a lady that confronted me just recently and said, and she thought she was putting me down. She said, you Baptists, you're just all about born again. Born again this, born again that. And I said, lady, if we're not born again, all is lost. All is lost. You can live the best life you want to live, but when you get to the end of this world, into this life, and you breathe your last breath, man, it's all lost. It all slips through your fingers. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's look at that first verse. First three verses together. There's a man of the Pharisees, I already preached about him, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. This religious leader knew that Jesus was sent from heaven. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus jumps right into it and says, except a man, I say unto thee, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, being orthodox alone is not enough. The Pharisees dotted every I and crossed every T. The Pharisees were like the Bible fundamentalists of their day. But being orthodox, being religious, is not enough. Please, if you think you're going to heaven because you go to a certain church, you could not be so far from the truth. And the born-again experience is so simple. We muddy it up all the time with religianity and personal opinions and self-made, homemade Bible doctrine, where we'll take a phrase and we've lived a little life and we think we know what God wants without actually studying the Word of God. We've got to be careful as a people that we understand what born again is. The last three Sundays, I'll tell you what kind of church you're in this morning. The last three Sundays, four Sundays, 11 people have been born again in our services. Amen. They've received Christ as their Savior. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. On, I think it was Tuesday morning, we knelt between the buses. A mechanic came to work on our buses. I introduced myself to him. We talked for just a little bit. I told him about Jesus, asked him if he wanted to get born again. He said, I sure do. This is what I've been waiting for. And we got on our knees between the buses there in the wet dew on that grass. And a sinner man received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was born into the family of God. Now, let me explain it. Let's look at what Jesus says about it. Because I'll tell you what born again is not. It's not reformation. It's not doing the best you can. Being born again doesn't mean you're saved from an automobile accident or a disease. Doesn't mean you're on a mountaintop somewhere and you saw a shooting star and had some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling and therefore you're born again. No, Jesus spells it right out. Look what he says in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And he just wasn't comprehending what Jesus said. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Before I read a little bit, the next verse, which explains that verse, some people erroneously think that born of water means you get baptized. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. Read the very next verse. He's talking about that amniotic fluid sac that surrounds the baby in his mother's womb or her mother's womb that breaks just be, that's the natural birth. That's the earthly birth is what that is. And by the way, it's not a fetus. It's a person.
That's right.
And here's something else that I just found this out this week. You know the word fetus is a Latin term? You know what it means? Little person. So those that are hiding behind the language, they're not hiding anywhere. They're just kind of soothing their own conscience, but of course, they're woefully mistaken. Jesus said, what he said is you got to be born once physically, and you've got to be born once spiritually. You say, how do you know that's what he's saying? Look at the very next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Five times in the Gospel of John, it says we need to be born of the Holy Spirit of God. That's not baptism. H2O can't wash away sin. Man, you're in a Baptist church. We baptize people all the time. That is not salvation. That is a picture of salvation, just like the Lord's table. That just is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, just like the first century church. Death, burial, and resurrection. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised again to walk in newness of life. Romans in chapter 6. We have people get saved here pretty regularly. Jackie, she's here this morning. She got baptized last week. She was saved a couple of weeks prior to that. She didn't get saved last Sunday night, but her extended family came. And some of them saw the baptismal service, heard the preaching of God's word, and three of them got born again after the service with them. And they're here this morning. That's what baptism is. It's identifying with Jesus. It is obeying Jesus Christ, and it's preaching, it's testifying of Jesus. Preaches a little sermon. Go back to John chapter 3. This is not water baptism. This is physical birth. He's talking about being born. He said, when you got to be born once fleshly, in a fleshly manner, and you got to be born once spiritually by way of the Holy Spirit. Marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You're born once. You need to be born a second time. You need to come to Jesus. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. And it is a marvelous thing for people to get born again. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Man, aren't you learned in the scriptures? If you're a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, then you've got the Pentateuch memorized, first five books of the Bible, and you're not understanding this? They're so close to the forest, he doesn't see the trees. It's like religion sometimes blinds people. Pride enters into it. Well, that's what you believe. I'm a this or I'm a that, and it's unfortunate. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you these earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He said, I'm God. I've come from heaven. I'm speaking to you the truth. Jesus said, ye must be born again. There's nothing you and I can do to build salvation. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. We read this morning in Sunday school in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, how that the corruptness cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. You aren't righteous enough. I'm not righteous enough. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I'm almost 65 years of age. I got saved in 1968. I received Christ as my Savior, and I was born again. I can take you to the spot. I can tell you exactly what I prayed. I know, and I was born into the family of God right then and there. I didn't do anything to earn that salvation. I've done a lot of things that, if it was dependent on me, I'd have lost that salvation. But I'm kept in the everlasting and secure arms of Christ, because it isn't my righteousness that's getting me to heaven. Never has been. It's Christ's righteousness. Romans in chapter 5, don't have time to turn there. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That means an outside force put righteousness, that's God, righteousness into his life. Abraham is in heaven today because of the righteousness of, when he believed him, the coming Savior who would come to Calvary and die on the cross. I'm going to heaven, not because of anything I've ever done, but I have the imputed righteousness of Christ. When God the Father sees me, he sees me through the prism of the blood of his Son. I'm a sinner man. But when he sees me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is an audacious thought for anybody to think they can somehow work their way, build a ladder high enough, be righteous enough in their own good works to go to heaven. Fact is, you, just like I am, you're a sinner. And you need a Savior. And you'll die in your sin if you never get born again. Receive Christ as your Savior. You don't build salvation. It's already been provided. When I was a little boy, we lived in the south end of Shunk Road in a farm there. And we'd be out in the barn playing or whatever we might be doing, just having a big time. And Ma Raider would yell out the door, out the back door, "Come and get it!" Man, we went on the run. It was first come, first serve at my house. And it didn't matter if it was, most of the time it was goulash with hamburger in it and red Kool-Aid. You know, didn't matter, man. I was the first one there because I was the oldest boy. I'm going to get coming. When I heard those words, "Come and get it," I knew everything was prepared. Everything's on the table. Man, I didn't do the preparation. And that's exactly what God the Holy Spirit is telling you, asking you this morning, if you're not born again, come and get it. The table is prepared. You can be born into the family of God. You say, well, how is that? Let's read on here. Let's read a little bit more. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, let me give you a little background. Children of Israel, the Hebrews, they're murmuring against God. God caused fiery serpents to come into the camp. Everybody that was bit of those poisonous snakes were dying, except for those that will look. God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and raise it up high. And the message was, look and live. You don't have to do anything. Salvation is provided. Just look and live. Brass is a picture of judgment in the Word of God. Jesus had all the sins of the world on his body when he hung on Mount Calvary. He did that for you and for me. That serpent is a picture of sin. That's what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible tells us in Colossians in chapter 2 that the handwriting of the ordinances, that's the law, that is written against us, was nailed to the cross in Jesus Christ. I can't keep the law. Man, I'm not good enough. I can't get it done. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Don't sit there in your audacious spirit and with your pride and say, well, that's what you believe. No, that's what God says. That's what the Word of God says. That's what Jesus said. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God except ye be born again. Next verse, or that rest of that verse. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. By the way, that happened on Golgotha, on Mount Calvary. The Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus himself, was suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours. And he became sin who knew no sin, the Bible tells us. That whosoever, I love that word, whosoever. We're going to see it a couple of times here. I'm starting to wrap this up. So stay with me. Whosoever means anybody. You got to know this. Heaven is not for the religious elite. Heaven is not for those who dress a certain way or of a certain skin color or nationality or certain level of financial success. That's not who heaven is for. The Bible says whosoever. That means anybody. You can put your name in that. He said, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The illustration, the brazen serpent upon the pole. Moses said, look and live. And everybody that did, they lived. Jesus, the Son of God, hanging on a pole, on a tree, on Mount Calvary, had the sin of the world on your sin and my sin on his body. And this message is simple. Come and get it. Look and live. Turn to Jesus. Verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to say this before I get to this famous verse. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is important. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You could go through all the externals, but if it isn't your heart, man, you don't get it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's a heart thing. That's what Nicodemus didn't have. By the way, I think Nicodemus gets saved. We're not told this, but he defends Jesus later on, and then he provides for him afterwards. So I think we're going to see Nicodemus in heaven. Here is a hungry religious leader. All of Israel is following him. He's one of the 70, and yet he's empty on the inside. Jesus knows exactly why he's come. It's the middle of the night. He shows up, and Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Born again. found over 100 times in the Word of God. They say down south, born again. And they may say it wrong, but they got the right idea. Regeneration, redemption, conversion, all kinds of saved, all kinds of different words in the Bible for the born again experience. I'm going to tell you, a lot of church members are going to go to hell. Read Matthew chapter 7 when they stand before God and he says, I never knew you. You did all kinds of good works, but I never knew you. Verse 16, 25 of the greatest words ever spoken by God. John records it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the best heaven has. That whosoever, there's that whosoever word again. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And look and live. Without Christ, I'm going to read two more verses. Without Christ, you're lost. Without being born again, all is in vain. All is so temporary. And you lose it all. You say, preacher, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And I know he visited this earth. Does that mean I'm going to heaven? Oh, that's not the whole story. You're forgetting the hard part. So what do I got to do to go to hell? Nothing. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death. Look what it says here in verse 16, 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you never get born again, if you never receive Christ, now I'm going somewhere with this message. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. We don't do that here. Not especially not visitors. Maybe old timers. I'll embarrass them a little bit. But never a visitor. So you're safe. Don't think I'm going to call you out by name. Don't think I'm going to point you out in the crowd. I'm not going to do that. We are so glad you're here. And I want you to understand that if you don't get born again, and I'm going to lead you, you can do it where you're seated. You can do it if it's a heart thing for you this morning. If you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, come and get it, the table is ready, and you desire that, like Nicodemus desired that, you can be born again this morning. But if you don't, look at the last verse of this chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. Last verse, last part of the verse, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You don't want the wrath of God on your life. You don't want the wrath of God on your eternal being for all, forever and ever and ever. That's when all you've got to do is believe. So what do you mean believe? Let me explain this real quickly. You can believe that there's a plane leaving the Kinross Airport, Chippewa County International Airport. It's going somewhere. Say it's going to Traverse City. You want to go to Traverse City. I can think of better places to go, but you want to go to Traverse City. And somebody purchases a ticket for you, and your name is on that ticket. You got it on your person. You got it on your person. And you go to the terminal over here at Chippewa County International Airport, and you watch everybody loading up and putting their luggage on and everything, and you stand there at those big glass windows, and you watch everybody getting on the plane, and then you watch that plane, that jet taxi out on the runway and take off and head towards Traverse City. You got a ticket in your hand. But it's not until you get on board that plane. You believe on that plane. You put your trust in that jet. That you get to heaven. You might know all about Jesus. You might know he's the very Son of God. You may understand his deity and why he came to this earth. He came to die on the cross for sinners. Man, I read it in the Bible. I know it's true. I know that. But you've never come to the place where you put your trust in him, called out to him, and was born again. Until you do that, you're not going to God's heaven. Friday morning, I was interviewed on a radio station out of Sheboygan, 97.7. Randy Bishop interviewed me. I thought it was going to be an interview about politics. I was ready. Man, I was ready, loaded for bear. You know, I'm not in the pulpit now. I'm going to let it rip, man. And he basically gave me 25 minutes. He asked a couple questions, and I preached the gospel. He said, man, the switchboard lit up afterwards. It was unbelievable. I met people at the football game on Friday night and said, hey, I heard you on the radio this morning. And I was able to give the gospel as clearly as I possibly could. I pray I didn't muddy it up this morning. It's this simple. You're born once physically. You need to be born once spiritually. Without that second birth, you go to hell in the flesh. It's your own righteousness, which isn't good enough, and it'll take you right to hell. But God in heaven sent his only begotten Son because he loved the whole world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love gift of eternal life is provided for you. That's the gospel. And you've got to put your faith in him. Say, preacher, I'm pretty close. I think I understand the facts, but I don't know. There's never been a time when I was born into the family of God. There's a time in the county courthouse that says you got saved physically. Your name needs to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not here by accident this morning. If you're not absolutely sure you're born again. By the way, John said it this way. These things have I written unto you. The Bible. These things have I written unto you that you might know that ye have eternal life. It's a no-so salvation. And it's a no-so because of Jesus. And all your faith is in him. It's that easy. If you've never been born again, let me invite you to Christ this morning. You can get it taken care of in the next couple of moments. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Maybe you're listening to a radio broadcast saying, man, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. Can my sins be forgiven? The answer is yes in Christ. Can I go to heaven? Will I go to heaven? If you receive Christ, you will. And you can do it right where you're seated. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you're here this morning, and like Nicodemus, you hunger for eternal life and forgiveness of sins, right now in your heart, it's a heart thing. I want to lead you in a prayer. You got to mean it. Repentance has to be there. You're sorry you're a sinner. You've offended a holy God. Pray quietly. You don't need to pray out loud. Jesus will hear your prayer. He's listening. Reach out to him. Just pray like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. I'm sorry. I need you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. And be my forever Savior. I'm trusting you alone for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, multiple people receive Christ this morning. Gospel simple. Now, you heard how to be born again. It's not a work. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. If we could have worked our way to heaven, the Son of God would not have had to visit this earth and die on the cross. Those of you today that prayed and received Christ as your Savior, man, I want to help you. You're going to heaven if that was your heart. If that's what you want, you say, I don't know if I had enough faith. That's not what it is. It's faith. It's trusting Christ. So if you meant it, you called out for salvation, he was there, he heard your prayer, and your name is just now recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm telling you, with the authority of the Word of God, you're going to heaven when you breathe your last breath here on this earth. And it's not because you were at a Baptist church or you're a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever, Episcopalian. None of that's going to cut it. It's whether you received Jesus and you were born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Those of you that prayed that prayer, if you'll let us, we'll help you. If you'd have the courage to walk the aisle, I'll meet you right down here. We have an altar call every service. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. People will come to the altar and they'll pray about different things just at the end of the service here. If you would come, I'll meet you right at the front and I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. If you prayed that prayer and received Christ and you don't come, that doesn't mean you're not saved. I just want to help you. I want you to take that step. But if you meant it, what you prayed, you're born into the family of God. Keep coming. Man, come on back to church. Get yourself a Bible. Start reading the scriptures. Get yourself a prayer life. Start praying to God. That's how you pray. That's how you talk to God. You read the Bible. That's how God talks to you. And you'll grow. It'll be amazing. The change. Now, you're still a sinner, right? But you're a sinner saved by grace. And you'll sin less because now you have the Holy Spirit living within you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.